What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Surely You Can't Be Serious podcast. We have a very special episode tonight. We are going back 35 years in time. But before we do that, Dee, how you doing, buddy?
Well, I went to a party last Saturday night, didn't get laid, and got in a fight. Which is probably good, because had it been the other way around, my wife would have been really mad.
It ain't no big thing.
Yes, 1988, the year that the king of pop still held his throne, but the hair bands were storming the gates.
Yes, yes, yes. I can't wait to talk about this. It's like my wheelhouse, man.
I know. This is so in your wheelhouse. Now, we've got a few albums from 1988 that we've covered before. We did 1983, the best of 1983, earlier this year. And obviously, Michael Jackson's 1982 album, Thriller, was huge. And I think you had two on your top five from that album. I had one myself, same one.
Okay.
Now, in 1988, we got Michael Jackson has just released Bad in 1987. And again, he's all over the place. So I'm pretty confident I can guess where at least one of your artists is going to be on the top five.
Hey, you know what else? Just kind of mirroring that same track is Def Leppard.
You got it.
You know, Pyromania, and then 5 years later, Here Comes Hysteria, and it's the same type of deal. It's perfectly in tune with 83 and 88.
And these are exactly the guys that we were talking about when we were running together back in 2008.
I know, right?
15 years ago. Can you believe that? 15 years ago, we were talking about these bands, and now here we are talking about them again. Isn't that crazy?
That's great, man. I'm having so much fun. I'm so glad we do this.
Yes. Well, it was fun to jump into 88. Before we get fully into our top five, though, I got a question.
Yes.
Which was harder to pick, your top five from 1983 or your top five from 1988?
88, 100%.
Really?
Yes.
It was totally the other way for me.
Really?
Like this one, I had two songs that I was kind of waffling on number five, but other than that, it was an easy five pick for me. There's plenty of songs that I like, but there was no question about what my top five were.
Okay.
With 83, I had two pages worth of songs that I was like, it could be any of these.
See, that's the exact opposite for me. I had children that I had to cut off and kick out of the house. Like the ones that I left off, I'm like bleeding that they're not on this list. Yeah. But hey, it is what it is.
Yeah. Okay, Jason, before we jump into these songs, we have to give a shout out to our executive producer, Miss Melissa Mingle.
What's up, Melissa? She was our good friend, and she actually joined us for an episode last spring where we did Duran Duran's Rio episode.
She is a super fan.
She is. She loves John Taylor.
She does.
Yes.
Can't blame her for that. He's a handsome man.
She and her husband, Mark, are good friends of mine, and we go to church together, and she and Mark have decided to become Patreon members, and she commented on the Video Killed the Radio Star Patreon episode, which was our first one.
Uh-huh. Hey, Melissa, Mark, thank you guys so much. We can't tell you how much we appreciate your support. Guys, if you want to be an executive producer, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/Surely Podcast for as little as $5 a month. You get access to all of our One Hit Wonder episodes.
Yeah, great stuff over there.
So we're going to go into our top five for the year. We're going to have a couple of honorable mentions and a couple of maybe rediscoveries or new discoveries that we'll talk about before we hit our number one. But would you like to start off? Would you like to talk about your number five first?
I do, but let me set the stage for us just a little bit. Yeah. So just to kind of bring you back to what was going on in pop culture in 1988.
Yeah.
I've got a few things that I want to bring up just to remind people where we're talking about.
Okay.
Okay? So we have talked several times now about the Tyson Sphinx fight in the summer of 1988.
Yes.
You went to go get chips, and what happened?
And the fight was over. Got a Coke, some chips, and the fight was over.
Was 29 seconds, I think, was what the fight was?
I think it was 90. I think it was almost 90 seconds.
Okay.
And that is the first time Michael Sphinx has ever been down in a professional fight.
And he's down again and in serious trouble. A right hand right on the chin.
It was way short.
It was definitely, if you'd have sneezed, you'd have missed it.
That's right.
And in 88 for you, you bought your Swatch watch that your friends all...
I bought the girl version on accident. I didn't realize there was a guy version, a girl version.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's just a couple other things. So Kirk Gibson hits the game-winning home run in the World Series. It's one of the standout moments for the Dodgers. The U.S. basketball loses the gold medal in the Summer Olympics in Seoul, which causes 4 years later USA Dream Team in 92 Barcelona, which... one of my favorite teams of all time.
Screw this. We're not using the amateurs anymore.
That's right. You guys send your pros. We're sending our pros.
Exactly.
Nike created the Just Do It campaign in 1988.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yep. Bon Jovi releases New Jersey. Well, I'm sure we might get into that a little bit.
Maybe.
My mom checked me out of school just so I could go and buy it. I brought it to school with me. Check it out, guys. I got my copy.
For me, 88 was the year my mom took me to buy Poison. And I got to get both albums. I got both Look What the Cat Dragged In and Open Up Say Ah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. This was the first year that CDs outsold vinyl.
Oh, wow.
In 1988. And then, of course, this New York City cop got involved in this terror incident in Nakatomi Plaza on Christmas Eve
In
1988.
Do I sound like I'm ordering pizza?
Oh, well, let's get into it, man. Are we going to give each other sort of clues and stuff like
that? Yeah, so a little different than our 83, we're gonna give each other a little hints and see if we can guess it before we announce what each of ours is. I've written my notes in code over here you can't even peek and try to figure it out. But this is, just to let you guys know, this is the way we do it on our Patreon episodes. When we're at the end of the episode and it's one person's turn to choose, we give little clues and let the other guy try to guess it. And so that's what we're going to do now. And I'm going to let Jason start us off. Give me a couple of clues. I'm just one guess. And then you have to tell me yes or no when we go.
All right.
Five.
All right, here we go. So this song was inspired by a cough and starts with a sigh.
I think this may be a song that I have as well.
Okay.
Is it Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison?
It is Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison.
I did not know that it was in... Oh, now I know. Now I know what it is. Okay, I knew the inspiration, but I didn't realize what the sound was. I gotcha. Okay. So, if I may...
Yes.
So this song was written by Bret Michaels, lead singer for Poison.
Yes.
And he was on the road. He had a girlfriend named Tracy. He called home. And what I had in my notes was that he heard a man in the background. What you're telling me from your clue is he heard the manly cough.
Yeah, I've heard Bret Michaels actually say this. He was talking to his girlfriend, and in the background, he heard a male and he's like, who in the heck is there, right?
Yeah, somebody getting a physical.
Yes, exactly. And so that led him to believe that his girlfriend was seeing other men, and that broke his heart. He was on the road. He was in Dallas.
So since that's on my list, let's keep talking about that one when we get a little bit higher on the list.
Okay.
And I'll give you my clue for my number five.
All righty.
You ready? Okay.
Yes. Five.
The title character of this song, it was confusing for a lot of people for a while until the lead singer finally set the record straight in a rare explanation of one of his songs. The song is about Tipper Gore of the PMRC.
Wow. Wild Thing by Tone Loc.
No, good try. Good try.
Okay.
So the song is Mother by Danzig.
Wow, okay.
Right, so this song came out in 1988, which to me, I mean, holy cow, it's awesome, right?
Mother, tell your children not to walk my way.
But most folks didn't really know it for 5 years. Like, you had your Misfits fans and Danzig fans that were familiar with this song.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until 1993 when they remixed it, made it sound like a live recording, like a on-stage recording, but really they just dubbed in crowd voices.
Okay.
And then they also released the video from one of their Halloween shows, I think of 92. And that was when this thing skyrocketed. But release was 1988.
Interesting.
So Glenn Danzig formed the Misfits as kind of a rebellion against the pop rock of the time, Journey, those kind of things. And so
he's not going to like my list.
He probably will not like your list. He is not radio friendly guy.
Yeah. Okay.
So Glenn Danzig has the Misfits, which I've seen their shirts all over the place. And I didn't realize
school with like eyes.
Yeah, exactly. It's a cool font on it, which I think they kept for the Danzig stuff. But anyway, he goes on to form another band named Sahain. And in 1987, guy that we've talked about before when we had our episode with Def Dave himself, a producer happens to catch the Sam Haines show. And he comes up to Glenn Danzig afterwards and he's like, hey, you're awesome. Your group kind of sucks. How about we form a power group? So Rick Rubin says to Glenn Danzig, let's start a new band. We'll name it Danzig and we will get an entirely new band to play for you.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
So
cool.
Then they get this guy named John Christ to play the guitar. He is John Christ. Yes. And most people do not associate Christian values with Danzig, but yes, John
like Jesus'
Christ.
Cousin or something. Right?
It's JC.
It's his brother-in-law.
It's JC himself, right? Yeah.
Okay.
And then, of course, we have Beavis and Butthead love this song. And as they're watching the video, say, I bet he scores with chicks and gets in fights a lot.
Anytime we can bring up Beavis and Butthead, it's a win. Okay, let's move to my number four.
Yes.
All right.
Four.
Okay, there are songs that are panty droppers.
Yes.
And then there are songs that if you play the music too loud with your windows down as you're driving by, women will actually chase your car and throw their panties at the car.
Okay? This is not a good clue.
This is a panty dropper of panty droppers.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Now, we've actually gone deep on this song already.
Okay.
Okay? This is the song that caused me to believe that women actually wear garter belts to Walmart and stuff like that. Right?
Okay.
This is on the makeout list of 1988. And if this was not on your makeout list of 88, you were doing it wrong. You know where I'm at on this one?
Dude, you're giving me nothing here. Give me a clue about the song, not just that it's a really big panty dropper.
Okay, all right. This was a music video that had the woman Tanya Coleridge in it. And this is a former Goody Two Shoes pop star who was stretching his legs and became a force in 1988. In fact, his album may have been the biggest selling album of 1988.
You've got me. I do not know the answer to this.
Okay.
Hit me with it.
All right. This is George Michael's Father Figure.
Awesome. I love it. I had completely forgotten this part of things, but now that you say that, yes, Father Figure is a masterpiece and my favorite song on the album, Faith.
Absolutely. It's such a great song and romantic, dark, haunting, hit number one in 1988 and was a huge song for George Michael.
Guys, if you haven't heard our George Michael Faith versus NXS kick, go back and check out those two episodes. We are both big fans of those pop icons of that era.
Yes.
Both released in October of 87. Is that right? Am I remembering that right?
That's right. You're okay. Exactly right.
Yeah.
And both NXS and George Michael were competing in my mind for spots on this top five.
For top panty droppers of all panty droppers.
Is this a panty dropper?
Right. Well, I will tell you that of my short list of songs, Never Tear Us Apart was on there, but
Never Tear Us Apart was on my near misses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, D, so that wraps up my number four. What is your number four top song in 1988?
Okay.
Four.
I think the only clue that I can give you is going to be a dead giveaway.
Okay.
So just like my number five, this was a song that came out in 88, but didn't hit it big until the 90s.
What is this?
Even later in the 90s, this group became popular because of a band we've covered, Nirvana, who said, Kurt Cobain said, all he was trying to do was imitate this band. And then the song became super big in my mind, maybe for others earlier than this, but in my mind became super big when it was the conclusion song of the movie Fight Club.
So I remember the end of Fight Club and all the buildings come down. Is this the Pixies song?
You got it.
Okay.
The name of the song is Where Is My Mind? Okay, now I got to tell you this. This is a beautiful piece right here. They took a cue from Weird Al Yankovic when they recorded this song, and that eerie little woo that you're hearing, they recorded it in the bathroom.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, so that is one of the musicians, one of the not lead singers of the band named Kim Deal. She was the real deal. She was very good. She kind of got frustrated at the fact that she kept getting pushed to the side because Frank Black, the lead singer, kind of was, I mean, a self-admitted egocentric guy and wanted to sing his own stuff. Well, ultimately, the Pixies broke up after a very short amount of time being a band together because of this ongoing fight. Kim Deal then goes on to form a group with her sister called The Breeders.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
So this song, Where Is My Mind, inspired by a snorkeling trip where a fish kept following Frank Black around and trying to figure out what was going on with this weird snorkeler guy, and this is what inspired the lyrics to this song.
Interesting.
It has been used countless times in various movies and shows, specifically Fight Club, but usually it happens when somebody is questioning reality.
So to me, this is a more of a 90s song just because of Fight Club.
Yeah.
That's where it rests in my mind. You know?
Absolutely. And what's interesting is they broke up long before Fight Club happened, obviously. And then in 93, with Kurt Cobain talking about how much the Pixies meant to him, with Fight Club coming out in 99, they get this cult following. And sure enough, in 2004, they get back together again after, geez, over a decade of being apart and start touring.
Do you owe James Buckley some money or something? Because
no, I know. He and I have the same taste in certain circumstances. There's some overlap there. But yes, my number five and my number four both were on his list.
Okay, and I'm going to mention this. At the end, when we look at David Wright's list,
yeah.
I had my list written down before David Wright sent his in, okay? Just throwing that out there.
All right, very good, very good.
Okay.
Okay, now, Jason, we are to your number three. What have you got?
Three.
Okay. So, my number three is a song that we have already deep dived on.
Okay.
This song was written about Erin Everly, daughter of one of the Everly brothers.
Yes.
You already know what it is. Don't you?
I can tell you the band anyway.
This started as a joke.
Huh?
Slash, the guitarist, was warming up and decided that he was going to try to make circus music with his guitar.
Yes. So, this is Guns N' Roses. This is not Paradise City.
Right.
This is not Welcome to the Jungle.
Right.
This is Sweet Child of Mine. Sounds like a circus.
It sounds like a circus and a number one hit.
Can I just say that it depresses me to watch Slash doing like insurance commercials playing this? It's depressing.
It is depressing. Does Less, he need
I,
money?
I don't know. I don't know. But literally yesterday we were watching something. That ad came on and Brock is like, who is that? And I'm like, it's Slash. He's like, from the band? I'm like, yeah. The leader. He's like, why does he look so young? I'm like, well, because he's
drugs.
Wearing the same outfit. Wearing the same outfit that he was wearing in 1988.
That's right. That's right. This song reached number one in September of 1988, and I would argue was the rocket fuel that saved Appetite for Destruction.
Making Erin Everly the rocket queen, if you will.
Yes, Sheryl Crow did a copy of this song, and this is one of the few 80s videos that has been viewed over 1 billion times on YouTube, along with Aha, which we covered on our Patreon episode. If you're not following us on Patreon, you are missing some great stuff. For $5, you get all these incredible stories behind the songs.
Exactly.
Also, as a reminder, you can go back. We've already covered Appetite for Destruction. That was one of our early episodes, and we accidentally coincided with its 35th anniversary. Remember that?
We
looked up and we're like, oh my gosh, Appetite for Destruction.
We did Appetite for Destruction versus Back in Black by AC/DC, and that was one of the toughest choices we've ever had to make. That was a phenomenal matchup. Two phenomenal albums.
Yes. The end of the song, Axl Rose was sitting with the producer, and he was asking, how are we going to wrap up this song, Sweet Child of Mine? I don't really know. Like, so he says, so where do we go? Like, where do we go now? Right. And the producer's like, bingo, that's it. Finish it up. And that's how you get the where do we go now ending to Sweet Child of Mine. Okay, D, number three, to you.
Three.
All right, number three. As I mentioned before, it was on my list. I'm just going to tell you, this is Every Rose Has Its Thorn. In my opinion, it is the definitive rock ballad of the 80s. I know you're picking Motley Crue for that, but for me, I'm spiking the football. This is the rock ballad of the 80s.
I listen to a favorite song, then on a radio.
Love it. This was on my list at number five.
Yeah.
I told you I had a buddy for my 15th birthday gave me Open Up and Say Ah by Poison. And at the time, the only single released was Nothing But a Good Time, which could have easily been on this list.
Yeah.
But it had, I remember on the sticker, it said contains the hit songs Nothing But a Good Time and Every Rose Has Its Thorn. And I remember at the time going, how'd they know it was going to be a hit? Like, they were convinced out of the gate that it was going to be a hit.
So here's the thing. They didn't want to release it as a single because it wasn't the heavy metal image that they were trying to give the band at the time. But they said, we've played this live several times. The crowd loves it. It is a rock ballad, not just a ballad. We think you should. And they pushed and they got it. They were successful. They were the ones that convinced the record company to release this as a single. But the first station that played this song was a country station out of Dallas, Texas.
I know, right?
So this song was number one rock, number one pop, and in the top 40 for country. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And just to go back to our original story about him, you know, running into trouble with his girlfriend, the idea is that Rose is his career, which is taken off, and the thorn is his relationship, which is ending.
By the way, I saw an interview with her.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's accusing me of infidelity, which I thought was hilarious, right?
Well, rock musicians are kind of known for their double standards as far as that goes.
I'm above this. I can sleep with whoever I want.
This is a perk of the job. I am a rock star. That's what happens.
I'm working, hon.
It's part of the requirement, honey.
Yes.
Part of the requirement. So this one, after he had that conversation with her, next day he was at a laundromat and wrote this down inside of a laundromat. How cool was that?
It's awesome.
So guys, we're going to be covering this album in future episodes.
Poison's Open Up and Say Ah.
Yes.
Versus Living Color's Vivid album.
Right.
Both released on the same day in 1988.
Same day. Okay, so that does it for my number three. This is your number two.
Okay.
Two.
So this is going to be difficult for me to give you any clues because we've already deep dived on this song. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
So this reached number two the summer of 1988.
Okay.
Number two.
Okay.
Blocked by Hold On to the Nights by Richard Marx.
Okay.
Which I have had some hard feelings about, but when I went back and listened to that song, I'm like, Hold On to the Nights is a great song too.
Is this a Mutt Lange song?
It is a Mutt Lange song.
Hold on to that because it's coming up for me in just a minute.
Ooh, okay. All right. So I'm putting number two down the road.
Yes.
Two.
So to my number two, kind of already have brought this up, but I'll go ahead and throw your clue out there and see if you can guess it. This song contains quotes by two presidents and one mover and shaker of the Black Power movement in the 60s.
Okay, this is Cult of Personality.
Got it.
Oh my gosh. See, okay, this song is freaking amazing. I absolutely love it. It's going on my list for 89.
Okay. I mean, I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, it came out in the middle of 88, but it was really the 89 performance at SNL that kind of kicked it up a notch. But yes, I understand. You put this in 89.
Okay.
And again, I've got another one that's on James Buckley's list. So I'm just going to tell you, I also had my list before James Buckley had his list.
Okay. Just to talk about Cult of Personality a little bit longer.
Yeah.
We're going to cover this here in a month or so. I can't wait to do it.
Yeah.
I'm the cult of personality. The cult of personality.
The musicianship from these guys will blow your friggin' socks off.
These guys, I mean, the drummer and the guitarist, Vernon Reid, who was kind of the head of the band,
right.
Really.
Yeah.
They were already established jazz musicians. I mean, they were freaking incredible. I mean, jazz is hard. I'm just saying that. Jazz is hard. If you say metal is hard, no. Metal is easy compared to jazz. And these guys had the chops to play jazz, and they brought it into heavy metal. And just a quick story, the lead singer, Corey Glover.
Yes.
Great. There's a great little bit, and we'll talk about it when we do our full episode on this. But he was talking about his musical influences. He said he had older siblings and his parents and his grandparents, and all of their musical influences played a part of his musical library, right? But he said there was one album that influenced them all. Like, it came out and it was just like everybody loved it. And this was Miles Davis' Bitches Brew, okay?
Okay.
Talked a little bit about Miles Davis when we did our Prince episode.
Right.
But he starts listening to that. He's listened to several other black singers and musicians, and then he hears Led Zeppelin, and he's like, I'll never be able to do that. I will never be able to do that, until his parents take him to go see Jesus Christ Superstar in New York City, and he hears Carl Anderson as Judas Iscariot singing this rock power song, and he says, maybe I can do this. And that's what inspires him to go and become a singer.
Fantastic.
He ends up, years later, playing the part of Judas Iscariot with the same guy, Ted Neely, who played Jesus Christ in Jesus Christ Superstar, on his own.
Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, three quotes. You have Malcolm X from his Message to the Grassroots from 1963. You have John F. Kennedy from his inaugural address in 1961, and you end the
Ask
song.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Yes.
Yes. And finally, you have FDR with his inaugural speech from 1933.
And during the few moments that we have left.
That's the first one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the Malcolm X quote. It ends with FDR.
Which the is, only thing is fear itself. There we go. Yeah. Okay, cool. Awesome. I can't wait to dive into that whole album. I can tell you exactly where I was when I heard that song for the first time. Yeah. I was on a ski trip, the spring break of 1989.
Yeah.
And my buddy Bomber, who I talk about, he's a Patreon member of ours. He's like, dude, have you heard this song? We're, you know, sharing headphones on the blow my mind, right?
It's amazing. Its lasting power is amazing. Its subject matter is amazing. This is a powerhouse of a song in all regards. I can't wait to dive fully into it.
Yes. Okay. Very good. So that's your number two.
Okay, so that does it for our first four for each of us.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so before we jump into number one,
okay.
We got some honorable mentions and some discoveries, right?
Yeah, I'd say that, yeah.
Okay, all right, tell me what you got.
Okay, so these are my honorable mentions. Like, this is six and seven, okay?
Okay.
So the last time we talked about this song, I think you couldn't believe the words that were coming out of my mouth. So,
okay.
This song was written by Glenn Ballard and Syda Garrett.
Okay, yeah, I remember this a little bit. Keep going.
Okay. The video for this song has one smidge of the artist, but otherwise is a collection of newsworthy events from the day, including baby Jessica being pulled out of the pipe.
This is only an honorable mention for you?
This is only an honorable mention.
The song you described as the best song on both albums
Yes.
is only an honorable mention?
Yes.
You had two Michael Jackson songs in your top five for 1983.
I know.
And 1988, which has the album that you love more than you love Thriller.
Right.
The number one song, and you've only given it an honorable mention?
Wait till you hear my number one.
Okay. It's... All right. Guys, this is Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself.
That key change is irresistible.
Oh my goodness.
The video makes me cry every time I see it.
With Baby Jessica?
Yes, with Baby Jessica. Syda Garrett said she downloaded this from God Almighty, and she gave it to the gloved one, and he liked it so much that he invited her to sing on a song called I Just Can't Stop Loving You, which also hit number one. Dude, Syda Garrett's 87-88 was off the charts. And this song was unbelievable. I love it. Man in the Mirror, honorable mention number one.
Okay. I like it.
This hit number one, March 26, 1988. All right. My second honorable mention, D, as you can see, I flip-flop. I changed my mind. Okay.
Uh-huh, yeah.
My second honorable mention hit number eight in October of 1988.
Uh-huh.
Here's your clue. Former Rolling Stone guitarist Mick Taylor played the guitar solo. And it's a song about sexual anger, power.
I know this. Da Butt.
No. No.
It was a big hit in 88.
Okay. No.
Naughty Girls Need Love Too?
No.
Oh, right. Okay.
But I love Samantha Fox.
I know you do. I know you do.
This song has since been turned into an anthem for Monday Night Football. This is I Hate Myself for Loving You by Joan Jett.
Heck yeah, man. I am so glad. This was one of those ones that I was like, ooh, this is a really good song.
So this song was written by Joan Jett and Desmond Child.
Desmond Child, who gave us Bad Medicine and You Give Love a Bad Name with Bon Jovi.
That's right. And remember he talked about how you take the things that are opposite and you throw them together?
Something like Dude Looks Like a Lady?
Dude Looks Like a Lady?
Yeah.
I Hate Myself for Loving You?
Brilliant.
There you go.
Yeah.
I love Desmond Child. Yep.
That's fantastic.
Okay. Those are my two honorable mentions. D.
Okay. Honorable mention number one for me, the one that I struggled on whether to put this on the list, is a song that we can possibly cover as a one-hit wonder, all right?
Okay, sure.
So this song is Wild Wild West by The Escape Club.
Oh, yeah.
So pew. I told you, I was looking at this, I was like, I got to figure out which one of these songs to pick, which one falls in the five slot, and which one falls out. And, well, Glenn Danzig is more interesting than the Escape Club, so Danzig wins out on this one. Me, I don't care. I love
the eyes and the wild, wild hair. Okay.
But I love the song. I think it's got staying power. And talking about time capsules, the lyrics of this song, I mean, we're talking about 1988. It is the end of the Reagan era. And this song is to and for him, right? This is all kinds of stuff that are going on, living in the 80s, headed for the 90s.
I love it. It's a perfect time capsule,
it
right?
It is.
Headed for the 90s, living in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Okay, cool.
And then the other one I already mentioned earlier that I had a hard time not putting on the list was the one that we compared to George Michael. It was Never Tear Us Apart by NXS. Even one of the best performers off of the album. There were other songs that charted far better than this one. It didn't chart super well, but to me, this song is killer and it stands the test of time as far as the songs off this album go. I love the song.
Hey, that is a fantastic song, and that album is fantastic. If you missed our NXS Kick album, we went track by track. That is packed full of fantastic songs,
yeah,
including Never Tear Us Apart, which was a near miss for me.
Now, you had a rediscovery or a new discovery.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
Okay. So for my rediscovery, It's a song by the Pet Shop Boys.
Okay.
And they wanted to do a duet with an established artist. And they kicked around the idea of doing this duet with Barbra Streisand or maybe Tina Turner when their manager suggested, how about Dusty Springfield?
Son of a Preacher Man.
Son of a Preacher Man. She had had some big hits. You know, Pulp Fiction kind of revived her career, whatever.
Yeah.
But she had kind of fallen into this life of drugs and alcohol. And when they pulled her out, it revived her career. That song, of course, is called What Have I Done to Deserve This?
Dude, that's a good rediscovery.
I love this song.
It's been a minute since I've heard this one, so that's good. That's a good one.
Thank you.
Okay, this one, I think you're going to like this. I don't think I've heard this since maybe 1988. This is like a diamond in the rough. This is a really hidden one. I'm going to play it for you now, see if you recognize it, okay?
All right. I wish you all could see my face right now.
How could I let 1988 go by without Rick Rolling my best bud? Just kidding. That is not the song. My refind, if you will. My refind, and I gotta do a quick shout out, okay? Because I struggled with this one, but my refind is "The Promise" by When in Rome. If you need a friend. I got no song facts about this one. I was like, oh, I couldn't have told you the name of this or the band, but I love this song. But quick shout out to our friend Chris Weber, because one of his bands that he's really wanting us to cover is the Smithereens, and they had a fantastic song in 1988 called Only a Memory.
Great, okay.
So, there you
go. I can tell you one thing about that song, The Promise.
Yeah?
I know that the closing credits for Napoleon Dynamite are to The Promise. How about that?
Perfect. I'm sorry, but I'm just thinking of the right words to say. I promise.
I know they don't sound the way I planned them to be. By the way, Patreon member and my good friend Dale Selby said we would be failing if we did not mention Rick Astley's huge hit, Never Gonna Give You Up.
I didn't let you down, man.
I know, right?
I didn't let you down.
You did it. Okay. So since I have a 90% idea of your number one,
yes.
Why don't you go first?
Okay, fair enough.
One.
So this song, and I hate that you already know what it is because it was already on your list, because my clue is going to be this song was inspired by a cartoon band. I don't know how you pick any other song. Def Dave, this is my crossover with you, my friend. I don't know how you pick any other song as the number one song from 1988 other than Def Leppard's Pour Some Sugar on Me. I'm hot, sticking sweet. It is definitive of not only 1988, but the 80s in general. Like, you can easily put this on a top five list for the decade.
Yes.
So it is unstoppable. It will never be tired. It will never be old hat. It's always good, no matter how many times I hear it. And even my Gen Z kids, every single one of them, love this song.
It's absolutely a top five hit of the 80s. It comes off my favorite album of all time, Hysteria. It pained me to move it down from number one to number two, which I'm going to make a case for here in just a second. We talked about this on our Hysteria episode. Def Leppard's Pour Some Sugar on Me ruled the world in the summer of 1988.
This was my introduction to Def Leppard for sure. Remember the school dance where I heard it for the first time? Just to give you a little info, that cartoon band that I was referring to was the Archies, and the song was Sugar Sugar. If you listen to the last bit of the song, my buddy Jason noted, hey, this song ends with the lines, pour some sugar on me, honey, honey.
We got to listen to that right here. Yeah, pour your sugar on me. That blew my freaking mind.
And again, another song that almost wasn't on the album, last few days of recording, Mutt Lang says, I think we need another hit single on this.
Went to get coffee, came back, Joe Elliott's just strumming on an acoustic guitar, Pour a Little Sugar on Me.
Yeah, and then to get the lyrics, he went to one side of the room, Mutt Lang went to the other side of the room. They both just kind of riffed, noodled some lyrics into a microphone, and then they just took that and made the lyrics to this song.
That's right. Joe Elliott heard Mutt Lang's voice and said, that sounds like the words, love is like a bomb.
Love is like a bomb, baby. Come and get it on.
Based on Run DMC's Walk This Way with Aerosmith.
Yeah.
It's like a rock rap thing.
Hey, if they can do it, we can do it.
Okay. This reached number two. I love this song. How can I not have it at the top of my list for 1988?
That's the question I'm asking myself right now.
Okay.
A drum roll, please. Jason's going to give me clues to his number one.
Okay.
One.
I think there's a legitimate case that you could put this song in 1987, 1988,
okay.
And 1989.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Now then, my first clue to you is Corey Glover from Living Color got in a verbal argument with this person from the stage in 1988.
Okay.
This band went through the roof in 1988.
Okay. We're talking about a band
this
and
is a band.
Artist. Okay, keep going.
Okay. The title of this song came from some cautionistic words from a hobo at a bus station.
Got it.
What is it?
Welcome to the jungle, baby. I can't fault you. I can't fault you.
Okay.
I mean, I did.
You were ready to kill me, weren't you?
I was, well, no. I was on the edge of my seat to see what it was, but it is no surprise because that as well could be on top five songs of the entire decade.
Yes. This was originally released in 1987.
Yep.
Didn't really do all that much because MTV refused to play the video. David Geffen himself had to get involved and call the station and say, you guys have got to start playing this video. So when they did, it hit a little bit in early 88.
Uh-huh.
Sweet Child of Mine goes through the roof in the summer of 88.
Yep.
They re-release it in October of 88, and it reaches number 7, Christmas Eve, 1988, and it's played at every single football game we go to it right now.
They played this video to appease the Geffen Records folks and the MTV folks who are at odds. They played this video. They were going to do it one time, a one-off deal. They played it at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And then the switchboards, this is not an exaggeration, caught on fire with people calling in to say, play that again. What was that? It's a mammoth. It's a behemoth.
It is.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, yeah, that's great. I love it.
All right, D, I got a little postscript for you.
Okay.
All right. Now then. You had your list before we started.
I did.
I had my list before we started. Yeah. Listen to this. You owe James Buckley some money or something because this is his list. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Number 5, I Don't Believe in Love by Queensryche. Okay. Under the Milky Way by The Church. No. Where Is My Mind by The Pixies.
There you go. Yep.
Only a Memory by The Smithereens.
Oh, right. Nice. Good.
How about that? And then Cult of Personality, Living Color.
Wow. He's got good taste.
Hey, you and JB are on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
Now then, listen to this. David Wright sent me his top 5.
Okay.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
Mary Mary by Run DMC.
Naturally.
Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard.
It's the best, yeah.
Ragdoll by Aerosmith.
Oh, that's a good one. I actually had Angel on my short list.
Yep.
Yeah.
Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison.
Hey, there you go. More overlap.
And of course, Kokomo by the Beach Boys. If you know Def Dave, that's his.
Beach Boys will win every day.
There you go. Our buddy Brad Moore, I asked him, and he sent me his stuff. Here's his list. And of course, it's very close to ours. Finished What You Started by Van Halen. The Flame by Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
That was my first out.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's number like 8.
Okay.
Kiss Me Deadly by Lita Ford, which you alluded to at the beginning of the episode.
I did indeed, yes.
Just Like Paradise by David Lee Roth.
Yep.
Cult Personality.
Too. Yes.
Every Rose Has Its Thorn. Patience by Guns N' Roses.
That was on my short list, too.
And One by Metallica.
Oh. In 88. Okay.
Came out at the very end of 88. For me, that's kind of an 89 song.
Yes, it's well into 89 for me. That would definitely be on my 89 list. Yeah.
There you go. Brad, thanks for getting that to us.
Awesome.
A couple other people who wrote in and gave us their lists. Uh-huh. Jeannie Alexander, Patreon member Jeannie Alexander, good friend of mine.
Okay.
She said, I don't really know the top five, but Don't Know What You Got by Cinderella has to be on that list.
Right.
Which was in the top 10 for me. Just missed.
It is the number one Cinderella song in my book.
So good. And then our buddy Jeff Johnson also sent me his top five.
Oh, yeah. What did Jeff give us?
I thought this was great.
Yeah.
So he gave number five, Bon Jovi, Bad Medicine.
Naturally, I mean,
there's a case for that, right?
Yeah.
Number four, Tracy Chapman's Fast Car.
That's a good one. That's not really like, I love that song, but it's a really good song.
He said that I'm just as surprised as you are that he put it on there. Right?
Yeah.
Number three, Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Yeah.
Number two, The Pixies, Where's My Mind?
Hey, there you go. See?
And number one, N.W.A. Straight Outta Compton.
Okay. Not what I was listening to at the time, but for those that were, that was a powerhouse.
It was huge, sure. Right? It was a mammoth song.
That is awesome. Guys, be sure and go check out Jeff Johnson's podcast, A Film By, with his friend Brad. And they do some awesome stuff over there, checking out the lesser known but worthy films of some of the most famous directors.
That's right. All right. Well, we'd love to hear from you guys. Send us your top five from 1988. We'll put it on Facebook or whatever. It'd be fun.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we wanted to tell you about a very special episode that is with us, but not our podcast. We would love for you guys to go check out the White Rocket podcast with Mr. Van Allen Plexico.
They figured out that we love Ready Player One, and we love Ready Player One.
We do.
They invited us to come on. We're talking about the book first, then we're going to talk about the movie, then we're going to have some trivia. So White Rocket podcast, the first episode, drops on our discussion with Van Allen Plexico and David Wright about the book Ready Player One.
Yeah, we put a link to that episode in our show notes. Be sure and go down there, click that, and you can hear us talk about the book Ready Player One. Well, guys, that does it for our list of best of 1988. Please go check out those episodes that we talked about. Please go over to patreon.com/ Shirley Podcast so that you can subscribe and get, what do we have, like 10, 11 different
I think we're
Patreon
at 11
episodes?
Now.
Yeah, so they're covering one-hit wonders of the 80s and other areas.
Yeah.
And it is some of our best stuff, guys. I promise, worth the $5 a month, totally. Go subscribe and enjoy those extra episodes.
We've got some other 1988 stuff coming down the pipe at you. I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
So here in a few weeks, we're covering Twins versus Big.
Yeah.
I mean, big humongous.
Twins.
Big Twins. Right? We're covering Vivid versus Open Up and Say Ah, both released on the same day in 1988. We've got The Great Outdoors. We've got Long Cold Winter by Cinderella versus Van Halen's OU812, which was huge in the summer. We're going to have a lot of fun messing around in the summer of 1988. We hope you guys will join us there.
See you guys then. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.